We come to this evening's passage, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And this message shows us the blessedness of knowing God from early in our lives. So the blessedness of knowing God early. Now we have noted that Solomon began this book by showing that all is vanity. All is worthless. It does not benefit you. It is meaningless without the knowledge of God. But the moment we know God, everything changes. We are not saying that everything becomes perfect in this world. There are still trials and sorrows in this world. There is toil and there is pain. But the fact is that once we are related to our Creator, we begin to look at things differently. And everything that we lay our hands on begins to take on a different meaning and purpose compared to what it had before. And we discover, therefore, that although superficially things look the same compared to what others are doing, you discover you do it with a different spirit, you do it with a different heart. The purpose is altogether different. And now we begin to accomplish things for our Creator. And it all accrues, it all accumulates to our good in the time to come. Now we jump to this last chapter, this closing chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, where the preacher who wrote this book, King Solomon, he shows us the blessedness of knowing God from early in our life. Now, if life without God is not worth living, then life with God is worth living. And if life with God is worth living, shouldn't we be knowing God from early in our years and enjoy that blessedness from early? But more importantly, we want to know our God as soon as we can for reasons that the preacher wants to reveal to us this evening. So this evening's message therefore attempts to urge us not only to weigh up all the things that he's saying to us and agree with him, but he wants you to come to know God as soon as you can and not delay anymore. The situation is so urgent that there is no need for him to be dramatic about it, but he wants to lay before you soberly why it is that you should not delay, why it is that you must, with a clear mind and a full heart, come and acknowledge God, the true God, as your God. And of course, with a full revelation of Scripture, that means coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because when you have seen Jesus Christ, you have seen the true God. You have come to know Jesus Christ, you have come to know the true way to be reconciled with God. So that is what is being brought across this evening in this passage. So in the first part, the preacher wants to spell out why it is that we must know God early. And this is where all the boys and girls need to pay particular attention. And this is where the older people begin to think that we have wasted our years, and all the more it is urgent for you to act. So let us consider then what he says. And he makes it clear from the start, by implication as well as directly telling us, that there are two reasons, basically two reasons why you must quickly come to know God for yourself. And here you must remember that he uses words that can be taken literally or figuratively. And there are these two schools of thought concerning this passage, which should not affect our understanding of this the message, for the simple reason that what he wants to say is clear enough. If you approach it from the literal point of view, you discover that he is using images of everyday life, and each scene that he is describing to us is helping us to see what is happening to ourselves as we grow in years. And if you look at it from the perspective of the writer describing straight away about yourself in figurative speech, then you discover that each figure used by him intends to show to you what is happening within yourself as you grow in years. So whichever way you look at it, whether literally or figuratively, you discover that you cannot run away from the main thing that the preacher is trying to say. The preacher is saying, first of all, you must know your God because He is your Creator. And secondly, He's telling you, because you're getting older each day. So let us consider the first verse. Remember now your Creator. And the word remember is not just a thought that comes to your mind. As you read on, it is very clear that everyone, somewhere or other, would have a thought of God. They would be reminded in one way or another of God. But to remember your Creator means that you have a living relationship with your God. You know Him personally. You do not just know about Him, but you actually know Him as a person. Which means that you should be reconciled to Him, and you become a child of God, and He becomes your Father. It is almost like you remember your spouse, in the sense that you know that you are related to him, to her, and in crucial moments you think of him or think of her, and in fact often it is that you think of him or her. Now there is that case, and the real case of a friend known to us who had been too used to living the bachelor life, and when he was newly married, one day he dropped his wife, his new wife, at a certain place of work, and he went off to do his own things. And he went on living as though he was a bachelor. He forgot his wife. And to his horror, after the appointed time of picking up his wife, he quickly went on his motorbike and went looking for the wife. And you can imagine the wife wasn't too pleased with him, because he still haven't got the idea that he's now a married man. His way of life and his thinking ought to be different, and he had to readjust such that everything is related to his wife. Now, we can forgive such forgetfulness in frail human beings. But the point is made there that if you are in a married relationship, it is that relationship that counts. And that is why whenever you do anything, you relate to your spouse. That person, as he does things, he will be thinking, I have my wife to consult. Or I have my wife to bring along. I have my wife to consider. So whatever I do, I have to relate it to my wife, because we are now in that special relationship which wasn't there before. And the same also with our relationship with God. Now, God may not be your Father. You may know about God. You do not know Him as a person. You know that He is not your Father in the sense that He has forgiven you your sins. You are not His child in the sense that you have not actually repented of your sins and you have not committed your life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You are therefore not related to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by a living relationship. Or to use the words of the Bible, you are not yet born again. Therefore, you discover that there is no possibility of relating to God in the sense that is being spoken here, to remember God in that sense that you have that special relationship with Him, such that you do everything with reference to Him. So here we are urged to remember God, in other words, to come to know God, to have that special relationship with Him, such that everything you do in life is with reference to that relationship. Now come and do that. Come and know God in that sense. So remember your God in that sense. And why? Why must you do so? Because He is your Creator. He made you. And being Creator, He continues to have power over your life. And do you not know that? And if you know that, then shouldn't you come to know Him, come to acknowledge Him? You cannot live on as you like without acknowledging Him. Not too long ago, while in Indonesia, dealing with the relief work there, we were in the boat, and then our friend on the boat decided to draw near to another boat to see the particular fishing method that those people were engaged in. And their method was to have a tube with oxygen attached to a tank carried by the man at the end of the line, and he goes down and goes deep into the reef, and then he looks for special fishes, especially those red fishes that are popular in the restaurants, and they will use a harpoon gun to go near. The fish will not run away, they go near, pop, and then you tie it up there, and then pop, and then when it's enough, he gives the signal and he's pulled up. Then the fishes will be taken in. Okay? Now, that is a particular method of fishing. And it's efficient. You're certain of getting a particular type of fish that is very popular, expensive, and therefore you do not waste much time catching a lot of fishes, and you find a lot of little fish flies and you have to let them go and a lot of sorting to do. No, they just are very specific. But the thought that came to my mind was this. This cord that connects the men to the people up on the boat is so crucial. If ever there should be a leak, or if ever the line is broken, the person down there will be in trouble. And of course, the people who designed this would have taken that into consideration and make sure that it is as good as possibly can be. But my point is here that the person down there depends on the people up here. And that line that connects the two groups of people is so crucial. And if the people up here were to be negligent in any way, that person will also be affected adversely. And therefore, the people up here must take care of their part of their agreement, the unwritten agreement, that they will make sure the machine is running, the oxygen is being pumped, and that the proper signal, the person is pulled back. Right? And if they fail in any way, then the person's life will be in danger. Now just think, the person down there will be trusting the person up here, and the person down there will have to really appreciate the people, what they are doing there. He's not the most important one just shooting. He is dependent on the people up there. The sense of dependence has to be there. See? Now, accident can happen. And humans can forget. And the persons up here may be talking and perhaps playing a game of cards and forget. Or perhaps they are cooking something on the boat and the food gets burned. And all of them are excited dealing with the food, forgetting the men down there. Anything like that can happen. But not with our God. Once we are related to our God, we know He's a faithful God who never fails. He's the all-powerful God, all-knowing God. And currently, after creating us, He continues to care for us. Our health depends on Him. Our breath depends on Him. The circulation of our blood depends on Him. All the little electric signals that passes through our nervous system, all depends on Him. It's all not mechanical. God did not create our human body like a machine that is wound up and He has gone on a holiday. No, He continues to be actively involved in our life. Now that being the case, how can we live our life without acknowledging Him, without being grateful to Him, without coming to acknowledge Him as our God, to whom we owe everything? It's ridiculous. It is really ridiculous for creatures never to acknowledge their Creator and to live as though everything comes from themselves, that they have no sense of dependence upon the God who has created them, who continues to uphold them. It does not make sense at all. It does not make sense. And if God were to show forth His anger towards you, can you blame Him? You see, we discover that we have offended God in so many ways, and yet God is patiently waiting for us to turn back to Him, giving us various opportunities in order to come to see our folly and come to be related to Him and listen to Him, to submit our lives to Him and be related to Him. So that is one reason. He's our Creator. The writer could have said He's your God, or He's your helper or your guide or whatever. But he uses the word Creator to understand, to make us understand that we owe all that we have, all that we are to Him. We rightly should come and acknowledge Him and submit our lives to Him. Then secondly, He wants us to realize what we observe as we go on in the days of our life on this earth. You are getting older each day. And when you get older, you encounter many difficulties. And just as if you are related to God, there is blessing, and therefore you ought to come to enjoy this blessing early. But equally, as you go on in years, you must remember that the days ahead get more difficult. It is more difficult for you to remember. It's more difficult for you to understand. And the opportunities of enjoying the blessing that you should have enjoyed from earlier would be going as the days go by. And who knows, with time, the opportunities may become less. They might be withdrawn. And who knows, given opportunities, there might be inability on your part to grasp what is being said anymore. There might not be any ability on your part to even believe. And this is where you must be careful. You know, when people make soft boiled eggs in the morning, you have to have boiled water of a certain capacity. It cannot be less, it cannot be too much, and you have to be there for that length of time. And any longer, the egg becomes hardened. And once hardened, you cannot reverse the process. You cannot make it soft anymore. And the Malay has a saying, nasi sudah jadi bubur. When the rice has become so watery that it is porridge, you can't revert it back to normal rice anymore. And you discover, therefore, that as we go on in years, this process is happening. Our minds get more rusty, as it were. And our hearts get hardened as we go along. And with time, as we hear the gospel, we become immune to it and we don't see the urgency of it. And you think that there's still plenty of time. And let me enjoy life as non-Christian first. And then at the crucial moment, I will quickly believe. Then I will be saved at the same time. So I can enjoy both worlds. The life on this world, in this world, and also the life after. Now, you cannot think like that, because as the days go by, the opportunities may get lesser and lesser. You might not have the opportunity anymore. And also as the days go by, you're getting older and older, and opportunities given to you might be unable to be grasped anymore. You're getting older. And you think that those who make that big confession of faith are all genuine confession of faith? Very often, if they are younger and have refused to believe in the Lord, you can expect that on their deathbed, they have not been able to believe. It may be that often of these confessions of faith are not true confessions of faith. The very spirit of the person speaks volumes concerning the spirit of the person. The person himself. See, he has so many opportunities and he says, wait. He says, let me enjoy myself without Christ. And he goes on until the deathbed, and then he quickly makes a confession of faith. Can you believe that that is genuine conversion? I say we really have to have doubts. We really have to have doubts about such confessions of faith. Very often they are not genuine confessions of faith. It's simply too late. And that is why while you are young, listen to what the preacher is saying. So in this first part, starting from verse 2, he wants to explain to us what it is like as the years go by, which you may have overlooked, but which you ought to know. And this evening, I would like to look at it from the figurative point of view, believing that there is value in that, just as there is value in looking at things from the literal point of view. And my reason is, of course, because we are working through this series, and the person who suggested this, he uses a figurative approach. But also, if we were to look at verse 6, it says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. Clearly, the silver cord is loosed is a reference to our life breath, our lifeline. It is as though there is a connection between our body and soul. Once that connection is loosed, when the soul separates from the body, and clearly it's figurative, or the golden bowl is broken, again figurative, the picture is shattered at a fountain, again figurative. Since this last part is looked upon figuratively, let us be consistent throughout and look, starting from verse 2, as the whole thing has been figurative. So let us now look at verse 2. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. See? In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, for those who look through the windows grow dim. So when we put together all these pictures, we can say, when you grow older, what happened is this. Your youthful days begin to get lesser and lesser. When you are young, you look forward to the days ahead. It's as though everything is bright. The opportunities are there. You look forward with great expectation and great hope. And is that not your feeling if you are young at this point? Let us say you are a teenager and you are about to go to college, or you are heading for university, or you are in university. Now you look forward to the days. Oh, the opportunities are just before me. I want to do this and I want to do that. And I hope to get this job and hope to work there and here. And you have many, many plans in your mind. You have such great expectations. It's as though the sun is shining. The moon is also shining. Day or night, the stars are shining. And you discover that when trouble comes, like the rain that has poured down, like the dark clouds that have been cast over you, very soon when the rain is over, the sun shines again. So when trouble is over, okay, I've met with a setback or trouble, you look ahead for the days that in which the sun will shine again. But look, as you grow older, it appears that when the dark cloud comes and the rain falls, another cloud will come, and then another cloud. The sunshine in between seems to be getting lesser. And put in practical terms, it means that as you grow older, you don't have that energy and that drive, that excitement, that ambition to look at the bright things and the good things that you hope to accomplish ahead of you. One setback after another somehow dampens you and makes you realize you are no more what you were. You are no more full of energy and drive. And as the years go by, you discover that all the younger people, they are full of energy, but you don't have that energy that they have. You are really getting older. Have you noted that those who are in competitive sports, such as badminton, when you play badminton, you have to be below a certain age. And when you go beyond a certain age, you discover that you are slower and you should be retiring. And you discover that nobody wants you to play anymore, although you are acknowledged as the expert in the area. But your days are regarded as over because you do not have that stamina, that speed, that quickness that is looked for in a younger person. That is why you hardly ever find an international badminton player beyond 28 years old. Long before that, they retire already. The same also in the Olympic Games. You see, if you are a gymnast, for example, you hardly find any gymnasts who compete who are below, who are above 30 years old. Never, you see. And therefore, take note of this, that the sunshine will not appear so often. And what about the verse 3? Huh? The keepers of the house tremble. Now here we are told it is a reference to the hens. The hens are like just a mate going around doing the work. And if that mate is old, you discover his work is slower. And the master may command her, okay, do this, do that. She will be obedient. She wants to do what she has always been doing. But she's slower and you have to put up with her. You have to wait for her. And your plate of noodles that you ask her to prepare, it seems to take so long before she comes. And there with trembling hands, she puts the noodles before you. And you yourself, if you have a pair of hands which have helped you to do work so fast, so quickly, so efficiently, in exactly the way you wanted before. Now as you grow older, you discover your coordination is not there. Sometimes you want to put your hand there and it turns out to be another place. And it is with great difficulty and that you control your trembling hands. Then what about the next part? The strong men that bow down. It is a reference to the legs, we are told. The strong men that holds you up, like the pillars that carry the roof and the big buildings. So our legs are like those pillars that come up, that hold things up.
And when our pillars begin to shake, you realize that we are old. Our legs cannot carry us where we want to go. And haven't you older relatives who have been going on this tour and that tour? And then they say, you know, I want to travel while I can, because when I'm older, I wouldn't be able anymore. And sure enough, you discover that many of them, after some years, they cannot travel anymore. Because they go on a tour, they have to walk. And they go on a tour, they have to climb. And they discover that they are holding others back, and they themselves are not enjoying it anymore. And therefore, they withdraw themselves. They stay at home. They can only think back of their younger days when they have enjoyed themselves traveling. Remember that as the days go by, your legs are weakening. And then the next part has to do with your teeth, your grinders. They become fewer and they are unable to perform effectively. Then that is followed by the end of verse 3, where your eyes grow dim. It is like a person looking out of the window, and instead of seeing clearly, that window is dirty, and therefore you are unable to see clearly. And so also your eyes, much as you strain yourself, you discover you can't see because your eyes is clouded over, and it does not have that flexibility that you had when you were younger. So your eyes also become dim. And then number 4 concerns your ability to go in and out of the doors of your house. In the past, whenever you like, you go. Now you have to wait till somebody get things ready for you and push you out perhaps, or help you with your walking stick, you see. And you have not that freedom, that ability to go in and out of the house freely. And you are unable to do the work which you have been doing in the past. And then you discover that at the slightest sound, even when a bird makes its noise, you will be awake already. You are a very light sleeper like many older people. And you discover sleep escapes you. In the past, oh, after a hectic day, you snore, you sleep. You sleep like a log. And then you wake up invigorated and you go to another day's hectic work. But when you are older, you are very sensitive to everything. And the little slightest sound, it causes you to awake. And then what about music? See, your hearing also begins to go. Let alone your ability to enjoy the music that you used to enjoy. And this is where you must be very careful. Don't think that all that you're enjoying now will last forever. Make sure that you understand that your faculties are deteriorating, getting worse and worse each day. And then verse 5, if you have been afraid of heights, when you're older, it's worse. You climb on the roof easily when you're younger. But as you grow older, you discover that your legs give way. Your hands no longer have that touch. No longer have that agility and strength. And you become more easily frightened. And then when you go out, you know that if you're attacked by all the bad heads around, you are unable to run. You're unable to fend for yourself. Now when young, you're not afraid. Come, how many persons you can handle them? But when you are older, you discover that you are not able to, much as your mind thinks that you are able to, but you discover you are unable. Terrors come into you. And then, look at yourself. If your hair is still there at all, you discover that it's turning a different color. See? It's like the almond tree that's flowering and the white flowers at the top. And you discover your hair is like that. Huh? And then you discover all sexual desires which young people seem to glory in begins to go. The grasshopper there is a euphemism for the sexual act. And here you see, the desire is gone. You see? Now look, young people who are without God, they talk so much and they pass, you know, the information of which website to visit. And we hear of this spreading everywhere. People are looking at all the pornographic websites and people talk about sexual things as though, you know, it's the thing, and they glory in that, you see. And the mature man is the man who conquers how many women, and the up-to-date woman is the one who is desired by how many men, you see. But all this will go. All this will go. Even like legitimate sexual relationship, your desires will go. And you discover that as it goes on, it says, the man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Now that is obvious enough. The time comes when you are no more on this earth. People just carry your body to be buried. And when a funeral takes place, you know, the mourners are on the street already, carrying your body to be buried. So in these graphic ways, you are brought to realize that these two things are needed of you. To remember your Creator while you are young, and to know that as you get older, the opportunities and the abilities get less and less. Okay? So that is why you must come to know God from early in your lives. Is that not sufficient for you tonight to make up your mind to know God from early? But the preacher wants to go on a little bit and tell you another thing. Why it is that you must not delay? Look at verse 6 to verse 8. Now, you note that verse 6, remember your Creator is in italics in our Bible to show to us that it is not there in the originals. It has to be supplied. But in the original language, reading the context, you discover that it requires those words. Because if you read, before the silver cord is loose, before what? The silver cord is loose. Before what? You see? Then you have to compare that with the words given earlier, the passage earlier. And when you look at that passage in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, that makes sense. That's why the translators of the Bible supply those words. Remember your Creator. So it actually constitutes a new section that is related to the first. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. So he's saying, imagine here, the body and the soul being connected together by a silver cord. When that silver cord breaks, yeah, the soul floats away, separates from the body. Just like a tugboat is attached to that ship, see? And for some reason, the rope is cut, and you discover the little boat will drift away. See? And so also, when the soul is cut from the body, the connection with the body, you discover the soul floats away. You see? The body and the soul get separated. Then the golden bowl is supposed to be your brain. Now, physically, we rely on our brain to think. With that shell, that golden bowl there, which we regard as so precious. And what if that is broken? And what about the pitcher, which is supposed to be the heart where the blood is found? And what if the pitcher is broken? The water spills up. What if your heart fails to function anymore? Or the wheel broken at the well, a reference to all the circulation system, your blood, and all the other things that's happening in your body that makes you function normally. Your blood stops circulating. Your breathing stops. And so what happens? What happens is obvious. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Death has occurred. Your body just ceases to function. It is buried in the ground, it turns to dust. The soul is immortal. It has to face God. The question is, are you ready to face God? Are you ready? And all that you have placed your hope upon on this earth, will they be able to go with you? Will they be able to sustain you when you are faced with the judgment of God? Now, is life in this world without God worthwhile at all? The preacher supplies you the answer which has been given throughout this book from the beginning. Verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. All comes to nothing. All is so meaningless, it does not benefit you. So now that you have been told why you must not delay, because death is going to happen at any time. Don't think that it happens only when you are old, and you are bent double, and you are haggard, An old man, old lady, bent double with wrinkles all over and trembling. Then you expect death to come. Don't ever think that death occurs only to older people. Even with younger people, it can happen. Anything can happen. You can die peacefully on your bed. You die. For some reason or other, some parts of you just stop functioning. It has happened to so many. Or you can meet with an accident and you die a violent death. But whatever it is, you discover that death can happen easily to young people. Don't take for granted that just simply because you are regarded as young, therefore you are not going to die yet. So in this part, the preacher is saying to you, another reason why you must not delay coming to know God as your God is that death can occur to you at any time. So why must you heed the preacher's exhortation to immediately come to know God? You already know that you have to, you're obliged to, you really owe it to God. He is your creator, and opportunities and abilities are getting lesser as you grow older. And also remember, death can occur to you at any time. So, inspired by God, the preacher says, I've been trying to put things as clearly as possible so that whoever listens to me will understand. I've tried to find the right words and to arrange them in such a way that it will be easily understood, easily take effect in the hearts of the hearers. The preacher is saying this. You see, one way would be to come and shout to you and knock on your door as though an emergency has occurred. The building is being burned down. You must come and listen. Now that is one way, the alarmist way. But in serious things, often people don't like alarmists. People who create such an alarm, such a drama. But the problem is, when people soberly explain things to you, then it doesn't register. And that is the opposite, the problem. Things are so serious, but because we have not taken hold of you, shaken your shoulders, and banged at your door and say your house is burning down. You see? Just because we say things soberly, things don't register. You just allow words to come, words just sweep over you, and they do not seem to affect you. So the preacher has taught the words to make things clear and effectual in your life, such that as you listen, you will sit up, you may realize, you may suddenly have your eyes open, you awaken to realize, I never see it that way, I never thought of it that way, I will act now, I will act. You make up your mind quietly, soberly, but decisively, knowing that you want to act on what the preacher says. He says he's trying to do that, such that it is like goats. His word is like goats. You know, those taking care of big animals like the cow or the elephants. They carry a stick with a blunt pointed end. The end is pointed, but it doesn't pierce through. But it's a blunt end such that when you poke at the elephant or the cow, it's painful. See? So they'll move in the direction that you want them to go. So it is like the goats that pick at our conscience. It does not harm us, but it causes us to awaken, to realize. And that is what the preacher wants to happen to you, that you awaken, that you realize the seriousness of the situation. Although he is not coming to bang on your door and to shout, fire, fire. But nevertheless, he wants you to soberly absorb and really act upon what he's saying. And if these words are effective at all, then it will be with you. You will never forget it. Almost like the nail, there's nail on the door on which you hang your clothes. The nail acts as the point where you hang your thoughts. Or put it in another way, it is like the nail that holds you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. As you come to understand, the Word of God drives you to come and embrace Christ as your Savior, such that you will never want to part from Him anymore. And you see, that is what the preacher has sought to do. He's trying to accomplish this, to make things clearer to you and also effectual in your life. It will accomplish its purpose in your life, to make you realize now is the time to act. So act in what way? The conclusion is given, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It boils down again to two points. Fear God, keep His commandments. For that is man's all. But to fear God, we understand it as fearing God as God. You honor Him. You have a reverential fear of Him. You are not terrified by Him. But to fear God means basically to be in a right relationship with Him, such that He is your Father, such that He is your Savior. And for that to happen, you have to come to His Son, because the later revelation makes it clear. Solomon wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in order that it may be part of Scripture. And now we live in this privileged time when the Savior has actually come and the Word of God is complete. And therefore we can see God's full revelation before us. So these words of Solomon should drive us straight to Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So in order to fear God, you must know His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, make tonight be the night when you make up your mind. No more to live for yourself as you like. Make tonight be the night when you draw near to Christ and cast yourself from Christ and cling on to Him and do not want to leave Him. Make it the night when you draw close to Christ, when you come to faith in Him. Make it tonight. And once you are in a right relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ, you discover you are given that desire in your heart and the ability to keep His commandments. You begin to live a new life. And he concludes by saying, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And that is to round up all that he has been saying, to show to you that life is not just on this earth. There is life after this. See? Your well-being in the days ahead depend on yourself now. Are you going to make up your mind and turn from your sin? Are you going to live for God for the rest of your life? And if you make up your mind to live for God for the rest of your life, then all will be well ahead of you. You will be accumulating for yourself, as it were, treasures which will be useful for you. Whereas if you don't and continue on in the Christless life that you have now, you discover all that you work for will be those things that will be rusting away, that will not be able to do you any good in the life to come. And that is the conclusion the preacher is giving us. He's trying to urge us to delay no more and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ while you are young and able. And don't ever think that death is far away. Come to God by trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let tonight be the night when you repent of your sins and come to trust in Christ, whose blood alone cleanses us of all our sins. And come to Him, and you will straight away be in the right relationship with God our Creator. You would have come to know the true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.